Happy trails to you.
This is Phil Nee, and I hope all your trails are happy. We'll talk again later with some community conversation on the morning show from WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. Up next, the 9 o'clock news offering, sponsored by Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, continuing the long tradition of caring service to area families, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, along with video games. It's 65 degrees on the Wirtz floor and home temperature gauge at 9 o'clock.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden will leave the White House in a few hours for a campaign event in Wisconsin, as many Democrats insist he is ready for another term. However, other Democrats, including those with money, some of them say they're concerned.
You have one major Democratic donor who is the co-founder of Netflix that's already calling on the president to step aside. But more than that, we are hearing from a handful of donors who are saying they will not give any more money to the president's campaign until he does.
ABC senior congressional correspondent Rachel Scott. The Labor Department releasing new employment numbers. 206,000 jobs were created in June, more than the number predicted by most economists. There's a new prime minister in the UK, Keir Starmer, and the Labor Party handing Rishi Sunak and the Conservatives their worst defeat since the party was founded in 1830. Hurricane Beryl making landfall this morning just northeast of Tulum. It's moving across Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula right now. This is ABC News. Presidents along the Israel-Lebanon border are working to put out brush fires caused by Israel and Hezbollah exchanging rocket fire on Thursday. ABC Chief National Correspondent Matt Gutman is in Israel.
Many of the firefighters, local farmers, racing to keep the flames from reaching the nearby village.
We live here. We are the first responders, and this is our duty to take care of this mess.
Israel responding with artillery fire and airstrikes, also sparking fires on the Lebanese side. One fatality reported there.
Four beachgoers at South Padre Island, Texas, suffered shark bites on Thursday. One man suffered a severe bite to his leg. South Padre Island Police Fire Chief Jim Pigg said that while serious, it's a rare occurrence, explaining the shark was probably just testing the waters.
They'll do an investigative bite. Once they find out it's not a fish, they let go, but the damage has been done.
The three others who were bitten were not as seriously injured, with only one of them requiring stitches. A visitor from Ohio bitten Thursday, New Smyrna Beach in Florida. That victim expected to be okay. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The best place to catch a Friday night fish dinner is the Phoenix Center. Dine in or carry out delicious deep-fried or baked fish dinner. Fish serve from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Fridays only. The Phoenix Center serves food and fun every day. The pizza is out of this world. And after a great meal, make it an even better night with a game of bowling. The Phoenix Center is family fun at its best. Open at 10 o'clock Monday through Saturday and 4 o'clock on Sundays. The Phoenix Center, this area's go-to spot for good times and great food.
This is Mark Jelinek of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Like you, we are working our way through the current trying times, making decisions that are best one day at a time. Our priority is, as it has always been, to care for you and your family and pay close attention to all your needs and concerns while doing all we can to keep you safe. Your questions are always welcomed at the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
A high of 74 today with scattered showers. Also tonight, a 58-degree low with a few showers early, then partly cloudy and fog possible. Partly sunny and mild Saturday with a 40% chance of spotty showers or thunderstorms by midday, a high of 79. Showers early Saturday night, then partly cloudy, areas of fog and 60. Sun and clouds on Sunday, mild again with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely, and a high of 79.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Sounds like you heard about a July 4th sale. It's a great chance to red, white, and do that job you've been putting off. Like an oil change with full synthetic motor oil. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $34.99. Save on oil, wash and wax, and more this weekend at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Daniel Miller. O'Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center. Ever wonder what O'Cooch comes from? It comes from the O'Cooch Mountains, and we think it was put in there by Meriwether Lewis back in the 1833 Northwest Territories map. O'Cooch Mountains, right up there where Mount Tabor is in Richland County. You can go and check it out for yourself. But O'Cooch Books and Libations, named for the Native American tribe that was in the area back in the day when my family came here. O'Cooch Books and Libations, downtown Richland Center.
Are you ready to buy a house? Do you know somebody looking to buy a house? Do you not know where to start? Do you not know where to apply? Do you just have some general questions about buying a home? Hey, Jason Schultz here with USA Mortgage, the Schultz Mortgage Team, your local mortgage expert. When I say expert, I mean that because mortgage is all I do. I don't want your checking account. I don't want your car loan. I just want to help you buy a house. Whether you need an FHA loan, a VA loan for veterans, a USDA loan, or a conventional loan, contact the Schultz Mortgage Team 7 days a week, 604-5068. We do not work banker hours.
For generations, the Cairns family has been rooted in Richland County as small business owners. At Julie Cairns State Farm, you will find a local, dedicated team that leads with honest intentions to properly protect you. Yes, saving money is important, yet so is doing business with local professionals that will be there when you need them. We're here to participate in your lives, in our community's growth, and in helping create opportunities to make positive changes. Yes, you can save money, and yes, we will offer you remarkable service. Yet most importantly, our core values will make you proud to do business with us. Like a good neighbor, Julie Cairns State Farm is there.
Today's specials are Country and Community from the WRCO studios, sponsored by Richland Family Restaurant.
On our morning show from WRCO and WRCE, we're here to talk about the Kiwanis Club and all of the great things that they do. And there's a special event coming up. In the studio with us today, Vice President of the Club, Sheila Troxell, past president, Steve Kohlstedt, is here as well to talk to us on the morning show. Steve, I was thinking as you were coming in here this morning, I don't know of anybody that is a long tenured guest on the morning show as you. I mean, I would guess you're right up there in terms of appearances.
So I came in 1983. Okay. This county. And I was interviewed by, it wasn't Ron Fruit at the time because he wasn't working full time at the radio station at that time, but someone actually interviewed me in 1983. So that was a couple of years ago?
A few years ago.
Yeah, a couple of years ago. So yeah, I've been here a few times. It's always kind of enjoyable coming in and finding out what's going on here at the radio station, but also, you guys are so accommodating and allowing the community to come in and share what's going on.
It's our pleasure, and our pleasure to talk about your upcoming fundraiser, another pancake supper you guys are getting involved
actually,
in.
Actually, this is the one that we host for the backpack program. You know, we've had some different names for it in the past, like flapjacks or for backpacks, that type of thing. But, you know, the thing to think about is it's a pancake supper that we raise money to actually use to support families that are in need and kids who need the school supplies in order to start the school year. And this is one of the major fundraisers that we use to support youth in our community in this way. So maybe you're a retired teacher out there, or maybe you're a grandparent who's had your kids go through the program, or, you know, maybe you're a teacher that is looking for something to do on a Wednesday night and you don't want to cook something for your family, or better yet, maybe you're a family that has used this program in the past and you're in a better position now. This is an opportunity to take some people out to eat, provide a goodwill offering, sit down and chat, because I always think when you're sitting down at a meal and you're chatting, you're learning from other people, but enjoying their company, But then you know that what I'm doing here tonight is going to really support youth in our community with their education.
Wednesday, the 10th of July, so next week coming up already. And this is one, I know you're involved in a lot of great causes, but this one kind of tugs at the heartstrings a little bit, doesn't
it? Well, it does. It does. We've been doing this. To me, this is what I would consider one of our capstone projects. One of the ones, if you think about Kiwanis clubs around the state and the nation, because we're an international organization, every club has something they can hang their hat on. And this is one of them that we do. Because we think it's so important that youth have a good start in education. And sometimes if you don't have the materials to start with, you're already at a disadvantage. So yeah, this pancake supper next Wednesday night, July 10th, starts at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And I know some of the people in the senior center, they always start kind of rolling in about 4:30 or so and that type of thing to have their lunch, and we never turn them away. So, I mean, we probably will have the griddle started a little earlier than that for the ones who want to come. But it's a goodwill offering. So here's a chance that, you know, if you have some people you want to take out for lunch or supper, for, you know, here's an opportunity to throw a few dollars in, and we're not going to turn anybody back. So, you know, bring some people along with you. We'll feed them. You enjoy a good conversation. And all the money that's surplused after our expenses are going to go to a good cause.
Sheila Troxell here as well. Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning, Phil.
Let's talk about the club, the Richland Center Kiwanis Club, and maybe you could go over a little bit of the mission statement.
Sure. Well, we are a small club, and we're always looking for new members to join, and I am going to be the new president, so I'm doing a little recruiting this morning. But we are also the charter sponsor for Key Club, and we also work closely with Boy Scouts. It's a way that we can provide leadership and community service opportunities to them. We do a lot of different things, not only the pancake supper, but our love of with the Kiwanis started with the Coats for Kids project. That was something that is near and dear to our agency. We started that with them, and then it's just grown. And there's just nothing like it when you see a child get a new coat and the joy that they show getting it. But we do, you know, we do the roadside cleanup twice a year, and that actually can be a lot of fun. But we donate to a lot of, you know, worthwhile other organizations, community events, and things like that. We just got done working the rodeo and the food stand there, and you just can't beat our cheese curds and spiral fries and our $4 20-ounce malts.
How is it? It's got to be hard to work there and not, you know, eat up all the profits, I think.
Well,
if I was working there, I probably would. So.
Well, actually, we're so busy that probably helps that we don't put on weight during that time. But it is a lot of fun, and I think what is so important to me is that it is giving back to the children of our community. And, you know, you just see it from all aspects, and it's just a wonderful feeling to be able to give back and help.
I know that you're involved in lots of things through the entire year, and it kind of makes me wonder, you don't have a large club. How do you get all this done, Sheila?
Well, I think it's kind of all about connections. You call up friends and you say, hey, can you help us out and things like that. When I got involved, for example, with Pumpkin Fest, you know, Steve right away got involved and with the Kiwanis and helped us set up and gave out apples and hot chocolate and things like that. So it is hard when it's a small club, but we try to work well with the Lions and the Rotary, and, you know, we're all supporting each other. So sometimes you just have to put on kind of like a different hat and remember which organization you're there working for.
I bet. So you're encouraging, I'm guessing you're out trying to find some new recruits, aren't you?
Well, that would really help. You know, sometimes if we can make the work shifts a little shorter, things like that. But I think, too, it's really important for the young people of our community and the young families to get involved. That's one thing I think with my son moving back here, I encourage him to, you know, to do things. And it's just really nice to be able to see all of these different families get involved and give back to the community. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, we're all here for the same reason. We love our community and we just want to make it a better place to live.
Yeah, I think that's something we can all agree on, is that young people and try the betterment of the community through them, right?
Yeah. Even though we're a small club, we're a dedicated club. So, you know, everybody takes their turn. Everybody comes. Sometimes they work the double shifts. Steve works all shifts. He just, I don't know, he's an inspiration to us all. Even though we've all got a few aches and pains, nobody complains. And it's just a fun time, though, you know, when you're just all working together for a common cause.
So the backpacks will be packed a little bit later on this summer. And how does that process work then?
Well, what we'll do is we'll do a sign up, and that takes place up at the Senior Center at the Community Center. And that will be August 3rd, and that's from 9:30 to 11. And then August 7th from 5 until 6:30. And so that way the families will kind of let us know like what grades their kids are in, kind of so we can figure out which supplies and, you know, best fits their needs. But it's always been a great turnout. You know, everyone is welcome. I mean, we're just there to help. And it usually helps about 150 kids, and that's between 60 to 80 families. But it also costs the Kiwanis about $3,000 to $4,000. So that's about a third of our budget. So that's why it's so important that people come out and support the Pancake Supper, that we can use that money to help give right back to the community and the kids here.
Steve, do you actually go shopping then for the school
supplies?
Actually,
we have one of our members who has been doing this for a long time, Dave Kepler. Dave has been the person. Kiwanis International has websites where we can order, where they've actually collaborated with industry, where we can get a reduction in cost, that type of stuff. But then there's some, you know, some harder to get items that Dave has to go online and actually order. So what we do, and that's why this sign up is so important, is what we do is we have people sign up in advance. These 2 days are critical. So if someone's thinking about, well, you know, I think my child could benefit from this, and we don't take any information about what you make, or, you know, there's no economic information involved. So if you think that you have a need, you know, we encourage you just to sign up. But then we base it on what grade your kids are in, because we have a packet that is for middle school, high school, a packet that second through sixth grade, and then we have a packet that is preschool to second grade. And so we have three different packets, and they're all filled with materials that meet the needs of the kids. Maybe they don't have everything on that list that their teacher provides, but they have most everything on that list. And we provide them, we color code bags, and I'm not sure what the colors are going to be this year, but it might be pink for the youngest group, it might be white for the middle group, and it might be black for the oldest group. But when you indicate what your kids' ages or what grades they're in, then we can determine how much material we purchase for those breakdowns. And Dave does most of that. And every once in a while, we'll have to order some other stuff, that type of thing. The other thing that's really important about this, and we've done this for years, is that the school districts, if they see materials that they're short, we can provide those. So if we have a teacher that says, you know, I got a few kids who need some notebooks, we can provide those. So we have some additional offerings that occur, but working with the school district specifically, we provide. Now, we open this up to all the school districts in the area. I mean, there's 9 different school districts that touch our particular county. And, you know, if you're in North Crawford and you're listening and I need this and you come and you sign up, you know, you have a bag. So we don't look at this as we're only going to do this for Richland Center, or we're only going to do this for this group or that group or whatever. We are the Kiwanis Club of Richland Center, but we open this up. I mean, we've had people from a long ways away come and get their bags. But as long as they sign up in advance and indicate they need it, we'll provide it.
Yeah, that's great that you do that. And you mentioned the extra stuff, too. Unfortunately, lots of times teachers from their own pockets are buying some of that stuff from time to time.
I think I've got a couple of relations of mine locally that are teachers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they do it out of the willingness of their heart. And this is what this program is about, is if people can sign up in advance, if you know that you have a need and, you know, you need a bag of materials, you can get a jump start on this. And we haven't set the date yet, but my guess it'll be the week before school starts is when it all. But Sheila and I are not sure because we don't organize that part of it. But in the past, it's been like the Sunday before, and I think it's the 3rd of September is when school starts. So it'd be someplace around the 26th or something like that. But when you sign up, they'll tell you when it is. And so you'll have all that information, we'll have all the data from you, and so we can make this successful.
Sheila, if someone can't come to the pancake breakfast or supper, I guess supper for breakfast next Wednesday, can they donate? How could they do that?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things, I did get a lot of calls last year about they were going to go shopping for their own kids, and so they were going to pick up extras. Oh. And then what they did is they brought it in, and they just dropped it off at my office, and then I made sure it got back to the Kiwanis and when they packed the backpacks and things like that. Steve, I'm not sure on the address.
What it amounts to is that, you know, if you want to send a donation for the backpack program, and that's what you're asking for, Phil? Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want to send, I can't make it to the meal, that type of thing, but I want to send a monetary amount of money. You can send it to Steve Kolstad at 686 North Cedar Street, Richland Center, Wisconsin, and just indicate in your check for the backpack program. And we'll take that and put it into the donations that we have.
Otherwise, the cost of the meal next week is a goodwill donation then.
Correct. You know, here's the opportunity to throw a few bucks in the kitty and bring as many of your closest friends. I mean, you could even bring Henry if you wanted to. And, you know, you could have a great pancake meal with sausage, applesauce, cherries, a beverage of your choice, and sit down and have a really good time chatting with each other. And it's an all-you-can-eat. So we'll keep making pancakes. If we run out of something, we'll never run out of pancakes. We will just never run out of pancakes.
How many pancakes have been made on that grill?
Actually, we've had to repair it once. The funny thing about it is most people don't realize this, but we used to do, it's been 35 years now that we've been doing a pancake breakfast for the for the contestants, 4-H contestants down at the fair. Started out in the fair arena is where we started making it. Then we moved it over to the Kiwanis Club. So hundreds of thousands of pancakes have gone over this grill. We repaired it 2 years ago, and now everything is working well again. But in order to replace that grill, if we were to actually replace this, it's a $6,000 or $7,000 grill, and we put $2,200 into it to repair it the last time we repaired it. So,
Wow. Yeah,
so it's seen a lot of use, a lot of travel because it's we can transport it, but it still makes really, really good pancakes.
I think of all the goodwill it has done for the community.
Oh yes, so. I mean that's absolutely right. I mean. From now, you know, we had to put some policies together so that Kiwanis members have to be a part of the activities so that we take care of the grill. you know, making sure we can start it, somebody has some expertise in lighting it and all that kind of stuff, and then shutting it down. It's gone out. You know, it's like the dairy breakfast. I mean, they have some griddles that they use, and they've used traditionally. I think there was like 4,200 people that showed up at the Nelson Farm this last. So you can imagine what 10,000 pancakes might look like on four of those roundabouts.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have 100, maybe 150 people show up to ours. And so we'll probably put out there someplace around 300 to 350 pancakes. So theirs is a lot bigger, but a lot more people.
Yeah.
But these griddles, as long as they have consistent heat, they can really pour out a lot. And we like to put the pancakes on so that, you know, some people, they'd put them in hot pans, and we like to have them right off the griddle for you.
Yeah, they're best that way.
Oh, mm-hmm. Well, depends on who's making them. You know, if I'm making them, maybe not that great. But, you know, we have some other people who are really talented, and they have much better patience than I do. Much better patience.
We all have our strengths and our weaknesses, too, don't we? Sheila, anything else you'd like to add today?
Well, I just want to say that, remember, when you come to the Pancake Supper, it's not just for having a great meal that night. It's all the money goes back and to these great causes. So keep that in mind, that it's really a twofold process. And not only come see us at the Pancake Supper, but come and see us at the fair, because, again, that all goes back right back to the kids of our community.
How's the food stand looking? Do you get water at the food stand?
You asked that earlier, whether or not we are underwater, and the answer is not yet.
Okay, good.
Not yet. Mm-hmm. We have had times in the past where I think in 1994, it was up to our counters. And I'm hoping we don't ever have anything like that ever happen again. But so far, we're lucky.
Good.
So far, all the freezers are working, and everything we have in them are just doing okay. And if only, Phil, you would behave yourself and the rain would stop, you know, we'd be in a better place.
Yeah, I'll do my best. Well, thanks for all you do. Sheila, anything else you'd like to add again?
I just want to say that I haven't told my family yet that I'm the president of Kiwanis. So,
because I said vice president at the beginning.
Vice president, and now I will be president. So I just want to say, if anyone wants to become a part of this great club, you know, reach out to me and give me a call, and we'd be happy to have you join us.
They'll find a space for you.
And so just next, or the 15th of July, we meet every third Monday of the month at the Phoenix Center for lunch at noon. Anybody's invited. So every third Monday.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Steve Kolstad, past president, you bet. Vice president, soon to be president, Sheila Troxell is with us as well today. The Kiwanis Pancake Supper is coming up Wednesday, 5 to 7 at the Richland Center Community Center.
Now is a good time to reflect on your pharmacy needs. If you're thinking about switching, the place to go for great service from people who care is the Richland Family Prescription Center. The staff and pharmacists do whatever it takes to help you. They're never too busy to answer questions. Their goal is to be your primary source of healthcare information. With everyone watching every penny, they know it's dangerous and unhealthy not to take your medicine as prescribed by your doctor. They've always matched any price and honor any prescription program. They also work with you and your doctor to find less expensive medications. And the Richland Family Prescription Center features free in-town delivery and free mailing. The Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Rockwell Automation in Richland Center is more than just a company. They are a part of this community. The team is made up of coaches, board members, firefighters, and EMS. Rockwell is proud to support and serve neighbors every day, both in and out of the workplace. What they are asking from the community is, if you are a part of a nonprofit organization or 501(c) and have opportunities for Rockwell employees to partake in, please contact them, as they would love to partner with your organization. The team is looking for volunteering and donation opportunities within the surrounding communities. If you would like to partner with Rockwell Automation or have any questions, please call them at 647-9400. They look forward to extending their community involvement. Rockwell Automation, ingrained in the community, dedicated to making a difference. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Boarding House Antiques in Richland Center, where you can treasure hunt in 17 rooms of antiques and gifts. There's live music at the Garden Stage every second Friday of the month, June through September. Tammy and Margie invite you to visit Tuesday through Saturday. Check out the historic Boarding House Antiques. Check them out on Facebook and their webpage. They buy antiques. 339 West Seminary Street in Richland Center, next to the depot.
Welcome to our morning show on WRCO. It is a pleasure to have once again in the studio Ashley Hageno, the 76th Alice in Dairyland. How are you doing?
Yes, hello. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so glad to have you. Just you're kind of on the waning moments of your Alice reign, aren't you?
I am. It's a bittersweet time right now because I'm nearing the end of my incredible journey of serving as the 76th Alice in Dairyland. But at the same time, there's a lot of excitement for the program since our 76th Alice, Haley Heinzel from Oconomowoc, begins her journey in just a few days on Monday, July 8th.
Has she asked you for advice?
You know, a little bit, but I have to say, she's got it going. She is amazing. She has great energy, great excitement and enthusiasm for Wisconsin agriculture and all facets of different industries here in Wisconsin. So she is definitely going to have a great time serving as Alice and do an amazing job.
So what is her background? She has a farm background as well?
She actually does not. So she is from more of the urban area of Oconomowoc, and her journey in agriculture really started through FFA. She joined FFA in high school at the Oconomowoc High School, and from there was just immersed in all that FFA has to offer its members, whether it's through supervised agricultural experiences or getting hands-on learning in the classroom or the travel opportunities for FFA, she took full advantage of. And she also became very involved at the Wisconsin State Fair, especially with Dairy Lane and working with the Wisconsin State Fair Dairy Promotion Board to share more about the dairy industry at the State Fair through milking demonstrations and interacting with fairgoers. So she's gained a lot of knowledge in agriculture. More recently, she graduated from UW-Madison this past spring and really focused her studies on agriculture and communications, all of which will come in handy when serving as Alice.
I don't think there's ever been a slacker that's been named Alice, has there?
I hope not. I don't think so.
You all have such great backgrounds. It's just amazing.
Yes.
Looking back on the last year, has it gone by quickly?
It has. They tell you from the first moment you're selected and then when you officially start as Alice, just how fast the year goes by. And it does. It feels like just yesterday I was starting this journey and going to new employee orientation and learning the ropes of what Alice is and filling the Alice vehicle up for the first time. And now to have it be a full year later with so many experiences and knowledge gained, truthfully, about Wisconsin and agriculture, I'm hopefully a better person because of it and certainly a better advocate for the industry of agriculture.
What's the highlight been? Has there been one favorite thing that you've done, or is it tough to narrow it down?
Oh my goodness. It is so tough to narrow down all of these experiences, but I can pick three that really stand out to me sitting here today. But every day, every moment has been a special highlight. But certainly back in November of 2023, I had the chance to travel internationally with the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin. We traveled overseas to Taiwan and mainland China to promote Wisconsin ginseng and promote its benefits to consumers. And that was a pretty historic historical experience for the Alice program as well, since it was the first time that an Alice in Dairyland had traveled outside of the United States for 23 years, I believe was the number that was shared. So that was an amazing journey to include international travel in my experience this year. And then another really special day for me was back in February. I had the chance to visit the school where my dad went to school as an elementary school student, my grandpa, my uncles and aunts, and my grandma has actually been principal at this school for a few years and recently retired. So we did a full day of education focused on Wisconsin agriculture with students in grades K through 8. So with the younger students, we focused on reading a book about where our food comes from. It's called Right This Very Minute. And I had lots of questions from the kindergartners through second graders. And then we have a really cool program called Expedition Agriculture. It focuses on specialty crops in Wisconsin. So we presented that to the 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade students. And then with students grades 6 through 8, we actually made butter and focused on the science behind different dairy products. So that was a really special memory because I love getting into classrooms and the fact that my family could be there, and there's a lot of history with that school specifically for my family, was very special. And most recently, a really special memory was attending the Wisconsin FFA State Convention a few weeks ago in Madison. So FFA has played a huge role in my life. I grew up very involved in FFA as a middle school and high school student. I served as a Wisconsin FFA state officer. And this year as Alice, I've had a lot of opportunities to engage with FFA members from across the state. So being able to go to state convention this year as Alice, I presented a workshop with FFA members focused on agriculture. I shared a few words at the state FFA degree luncheon, and most importantly, interacted and reconnected with all of the FFA members that I've come across this year. That was super special. And my state officer team, we also celebrated our 5-year anniversary, which is hard to believe. So that was a really fun full circle moment day for me as well. And those are just 3 experiences. There are hundreds of others that I could share about this year that really have taught me so much about myself, about the state of Wisconsin, about agriculture, and that have left me with so many fun memories that I will cherish well into the future.
How many miles have you put on the Alice car?
I have put on upwards of 45,000 miles this year, and that's between 2 vehicles. Ah. So this year, I started my term with Colonel, who was the 2019 Ford Explorer flex fuel vehicle made possible thanks to the Wisconsin Corn Promotion Board. And Colonel had quite a few miles on him. So we swapped vehicles and then welcomed Tassie into the Alice program. So she is a 2023 model of the Ford Explorer flex fuel vehicle. And just on Tassie alone, I've put on, I checked today, it's right around 36,600 miles. And that's not counting all of the travel from July until October. Lots of miles traveled, lots of memories. It's been a lot of fun.
You don't need a GPS around the state anymore, do you?
I still do.
Oh, do you?
But I got to say, in the Driftless region, there's a lot of windy roads and twists and turns that I do put my GPS on just in case I miss the turn that I was supposed to make and whatnot.
We've just celebrated June Dairy Month, and that's such a special month in the state, isn't it?
It is. And June Dairy Month, for me, has been almost like a farewell tour because it's near the end of my experience of serving as Alice. And it's also felt like a family reunion of sorts, meeting all of the people or reconnecting with all of the farmers and the community members and the volunteers that I've met with this year. So during June Dairy Month, especially, we are really highlighting the family legacy of Wisconsin dairy. And we shared a few times this year that 95% of dairy farms here in Wisconsin are family owned. So during June Dairy Month especially, we have the chance to meet our dairy farming families in Wisconsin as they're hosting breakfast on the farm events or other local dairy experiences. And what's really special is that we can see sometimes three or four generations working together to contribute to their family legacy. And they really help to strengthen the state of Wisconsin, especially when it comes to the dairy industry. So it's been a lot of fun to highlight our dairy farming families and their impact here in the state of Wisconsin.
It's really exciting to drive around and see cows out on grass this time of year.
You know? They get so excited to go out to pasture, enjoy the fresh grass. And that's where June Dairy Month actually has its humble beginnings, because around this time of year, throughout history, dairy farmers would let their cows out on grass. And the grass has a lot of great nutrients in it, being a forage that always increased the milk production around this time of year. So back in 1937, a few decades ago now, a group of people came together and thought, wow, let's create a month noticing this increase in milk production that celebrates this very valuable dairy product. So that's where National Milk Month was born in 1937. And then a few years later in 1939 is when National Milk Month became June Dairy Month as we know it and celebrate it to this day. And when we renamed that celebration, we not only focused on celebrating milk, but we also focused on celebrating all of the other dairy products, whether it's cheese or butter or sour cream or ice cream, and the list goes on. There's a lot of cool history with June Dairy Month, and it lends itself to our farmers letting their cows graze on fresh and delicious grass to produce that high quality milk.
I know you sent me a few notes on recipes and things like that. Did you try any new recipes during the month of June?
I have. I've tried a few different recipes, but one of my favorites right now is for an aged cheddar rhubarb upside down cake.
Mm.
It's a mouthful, and it's really good when you get to enjoy it. So this recipe features a few different dairy ingredients, but what we do with the cake batter is we add in some dairy products like sour cream and butter, but then we also add in some specialty aged cheddar cheese. You're going to want to finely shred it just to allow that cheese to bake into the cake batter pretty smoothly. But then what we're going to do is we're going to layer the bottom of a pan with freshly chopped rhubarb. So that's what goes on the bottom. And then you add in the cake batter, bake it in the oven for anywhere between 50 to 60 minutes. And then we'll take that cake out, let it cool, invert it because it's an upside down cake. Let the juices from the rhubarb go into the cake. Top it with whipped cream and you're good to go. It's a really delicious recipe.
Mm, it is. And the rhubarb being very sour, but the whipped cream is going to kind of compensate for that, isn't it?
Yes. And the recipe does call for us adding in some sugar when you combine the rhubarb into the pan. So you'll add a little bit of sugar. And if you'd like, even some red food coloring to really bring out the red color in the rhubarb. And so it's sweet. It's a touch tart. I think it's a really great recipe to enjoy in the summer because of those refreshing flavors.
Sure. And rhubarb is kind of the season starting to wane now a little bit too, isn't it?
It is. So this recipe has been great for the month of June, especially since rhubarb is ready to be harvested and enjoyed in many different recipes, but it is starting to get down to the end of its season. So be sure to try this recipe before there's no more rhubarb left, or harvest some rhubarb now and freeze it for a day that you might want to try this cake.
You know, it's interesting because I always liked to put a piece of cheese on top of my apple pie. Okay. So, and I've talked to some people that actually do bake the cheese into their crust.
Ooh, so okay. It's
kind of the same concept with the cake, isn't
it? Yes, very similar concept. And as I've shared this recipe, a lot of folks have really been like, wow, I never thought that cheese would go into cake, and it assimilates really, really well. And this recipe, I've made it quite a few times during the month of June. It is really fun to make as well once you get into the flow of things, and there's a lot of delicious ingredients that go into making this recipe. And the best part is, with all of the dairy ingredients, you're helping to support Wisconsin's farmers and the processors who provide us with these products, which to me is the biggest benefit of all.
I know one thing, everything's better with butter, right?
I do love butter. I love butter when it's baking or when it's cooking, or gosh, you can put butter in your coffee too, as I understand it.
Really?
You can. I've never heard of people putting butter in their coffee. So butter has a lot of uses.
I suppose, because it'd be like your, that'd be like your creamer then, right? The butter would be your creamer.
Exactly.
Ah, okay. I'll have to try that.
It's interesting because, you know, butter, of course, is just heavy cream or heavy whipping cream, and you might add some salt in there for salted butter. But yeah, butter has a lot of uses.
Interesting. Any other recipes from the month of June that you're real fond of?
There have been a lot of recipes that we've been featuring on our Alice in Dairyland social media pages. And if you would like to learn more about these recipes, you can visit wisconsincheese.com. But some of those recipes include ice cream sandwiches that are made with feta and Parmesan cheese. So that is a super unique recipe as well. And National Ice Cream Month is just around the corner in July. So that might be a super fun recipe to try that way. And another more savory recipe that might be fun to enjoy for a summer evening is a salad recipe that uses steak and a few different types of Wisconsin cheese like Gouda. It's a sweet and spicy salad with a few different types of protein. And you can find that recipe as well on wisconsincheese.com.
Isn't it interesting, after all these years, people are still coming up with new combinations of flavors, right?
It's amazing. I think it'd be a fun job, for a little bit at least, to try it out, to develop recipes that use certain ingredients, like in this case, Wisconsin dairy. But I know too, the Wisconsin Beef Council works with a variety of people to come up with new and exciting recipes that use different cuts of Wisconsin beef. So any commodity in Wisconsin has many different recipes that are created specifically for that product and that are very unique and innovative, in my opinion.
Now, you told me before we went on that you're a fan of cottage cheese in your scrambled eggs. Is that true?
Yes, I love that. It's something my mom always made for my sister and I growing up, and we love eggs, especially scrambled eggs. So we have for many years had, in the morning or really any time of day, it can be great for lunch or dinner too, added cottage cheese to our scrambled eggs. And if you haven't tried it before, I highly encourage you to do so. The cottage cheese adds an extra layer of creaminess to the eggs, and it really allows scrambled eggs to be even more fluffy and delicious. Definitely something to try at home.
So do you make the eggs and then put the cottage cheese in later, or do you cook it all together?
I remember my mom doing a lot of cook the egg mostly to being done, and then add a little bit of cottage cheese at the end so the egg can finish cooking all the way with the cottage cheese that is already added, because that allows the cottage cheese and the egg to really blend well together.
I'll have to try that.
It's really yummy. It's really yummy.
Is that recipe available, or is that just one of your old family ones?
I think that's a Hagenau family recipe. But as I've talked with folks, I think a few people have tried this before, just because cottage cheese goes well with so many foods, whether it's sweet or savory or otherwise. And eggs just seem to be another one of those foods that pair really well with this type of dairy product.
Some people throw it in their lasagna.
Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. That or ricotta cheese, but we have had cottage cheese before too.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you have in the house.
Right, exactly. Use it up.
Yeah. You brought a few props with you today to kind of remind us of all the great things here in Wisconsin.
I do have some props with me. So in the studio, we have examples of a cheese wheel and other products like Westby butter and Westby sour cream. And all of these examples and these props display the Proudly Wisconsin cheese badge or the Proudly Wisconsin dairy badge. So when you see this badge on any of your favorite dairy products, you know that that product, whether it's butter or cheese or ice cream or sour cream, you name it, it has been made and processed right here in the state of Wisconsin using milk from our Wisconsin dairy farming families. So if you are looking for ways to support Wisconsin's dairy industry or continue to support the industry all year long, I highly encourage folks to be on the lookout for this badge. It's again the Proudly Wisconsin Cheese Badge or the Proudly Wisconsin Dairy Badge, because it's a great way that we all can support Wisconsin's dairy industry.
Ashley Hagen, our guest on the morning show. We'll have more coming up in a moment.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no? As a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring, and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Hello, WRCO listeners. This is Kenny, the wannabe baker from Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe. Hey, the feel of summer is here. Enjoy our outdoor dining and our new summer menu. We have many of your old favorites, along with some new taste of summer. Check us out online or stop on in to Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe. We are open Tuesday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Saturday from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe, where every day is sunny.
Ashley Hagenow is our guest. She is Alice in Dairyland for a few more days. You've learned a lot during your time, haven't you?
I have. One just general thought that really stands out to me is how diverse Wisconsin agriculture is. I knew that going into this experience as Alice, and I know that's why the program exists, is because Wisconsin is so diverse and so abundant in its agricultural industry. But having the chance to tour so many different farms and processing facilities, learn more about the economic impact of these different products and how they impact the overall state of Wisconsin has been such an honor and such a joy. I've learned a lot about the dairy industry, but also about the cranberry industry or the green bean industry or the ginseng industry or cherries. Or the other week I was planting horseradish over in Eau Claire. So there's so much to learn about when it comes to Wisconsin agriculture. And as Alice, I've enjoyed gaining that knowledge and then sharing those stories with audiences across Wisconsin.
Is there a dairy product that you don't care for?
No, I love them all.
Even Limburger cheese?
You know, I have a unique relationship with Limburger cheese. I have not tried it yet, to be 100% honest. I have smelt it, you know, it has a unique aroma.
It does.
But, you know, Limburger cheese, it's a Wisconsin cheese. So I have to just love it, right? Because any cheese from Wisconsin is a great cheese. And Limburger cheese only comes from Monroe, Wisconsin.
I know it.
It's amazing.
So let me ask you this then. New cheese or aged cheese? What's your favorite?
Ooh. I go back and forth on this because I eat a lot of cheese sticks when I'm on the go. And that's, of course, mozzarella cheese or some other type of newer cheese. But this year especially, I've really learned to love an aged cheddar. And Wisconsin, we produce so many different varieties, styles, and types of cheese. 600 varieties to be exact. And even just within the aged cheddar variety, it's amazing how many different flavors and processes are used by different cheese companies and different businesses here in Wisconsin. But aged cheddar is absolutely amazing. And it's almost like a delicacy in a way because of the crystals that are contained in that cheese and the many different pairings that go along with aged cheddar. So I go back and forth. It's one day I might be more prone to eating like a fresher cheese, like a cheese stick again, because I'm on the go. And some days an aged cheddar is just absolutely delicious.
Yeah, I go back and forth too, but it's hard to beat fresh curd that's not been refrigerated, isn't it?
I know. You get that squeak from the cheese curd. That is a Wisconsin staple.
It definitely is. It's amazing though, you know, we talk about, you know, fewer farms, but still, I think the number of jobs in the agriculture industry continues to go up, doesn't it?
It does. So Wisconsin agriculture overall generates 435,000 jobs to our state's economy. And when we focus specifically on the dairy industry, there are right around 157,000 jobs that are generated from Wisconsin's dairy industry. So these jobs might entail being on a dairy farm, whether as a herd manager or working as maybe a milker. We also have a lot of different partnerships within the industry when it comes to dairy farming. Our dairy farmers are going to work with veterinarians and nutritionists and agronomists and consultants and others that really help each dairy farm to succeed. And then beyond that, you have all of the other roles in the dairy industry, such as the transportation side of things when it comes to hauling milk. And our dairy processors play a huge role in the dairy industry. And of course, we have our scientists, our technology influencers, and our researchers and developers who put in a lot of work when it comes to developing, say, new dairy products or new technology that goes into the dairy industry. And then you might have folks like me who are really focused on marketing and communication and education when it comes to the dairy industry. It's a multifaceted industry that contributes so much to the state of Wisconsin.
The past Alices, and I know there are many, they've all gone on to do some great things even after the rain, haven't they?
They have. We have many former Alices working with program partners of Alice, like the Wisconsin Beef Council or Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. We also have former Alices who work in the industry, like maybe for different media outlets or working with farming organizations. Or one of our former Alices works at an amazing facility called the Farm Wisconsin Discovery Center, which focuses specifically on agricultural education for audiences of all ages at a very state-of-the-art facility over in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. And that's just skimming the surface at all of the ways that former Alices continue to impact the industry of agriculture.
So what is next for you on July 9th when you've given up the crown? What's going on that day?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I will actually still be helping Haley and kind of training her over the first few weeks when she starts her year of service. So my contract officially goes through July 19th. And within that 2 week or so window, Haley and I will have some time in the office to go through some computer work to really get her brought up to speed and all that the Alice in Dairyland role entails. We'll be able to travel together to a few county fairs or other events to really help her feel comfortable and confident in the role as she starts to interact with Wisconsinites across our state. And then come July 19th, I will then have a few different fun travel plans with family and friends for really the rest of the summer. I'm really excited to help out at the Wisconsin State Fair this year, whether it's chaperoning Haley as she serves as Alice or assisting with announcing some livestock shows. And then I'm really excited to re-enter the workforce come this fall with a role that focuses on marketing or media or education to positively impact our farmers and processors. That's what's next for me, and I'm really excited for the rest of the summer to just enjoy a lot of time with family and friends and really be a mentor to Haley as she starts the amazing experience of serving as Alice.
Do you have a job lined up then for the fall? Or
I do not yet.
You'll be working on that.
Yeah, looking to stay involved in the industry of agriculture and, again, just positively impacting our farmers and processors because they are the reason the industry of agriculture does exist.
You'll have to start paying to get into county fairs again then, won't
you? Yeah, exactly. That will have to be definitely something I do.
So where is the Alice office located at then?
So I work out of the Madison office, okay, which is the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. DATCAP, as it is known for short, is located in Madison, Wisconsin. And while I'm not in the office often, whenever I do have some time to get some work done and interact with my colleagues at DATCAP, our office is located in Madison, Wisconsin. It's a nice home base, which allows me to have a central area to then travel all over the state from.
And your home base originally was?
It is in Poinette, Wisconsin, right, which is about 30 minutes north of Madison.
So you'll be going back home then?
I will be. I've been living at home the last year, but it's been nice when I am home to spend some time with my parents and some of our family and friends who visit. And then I commute into Madison and from there travel all over the state.
Well, it's been a real pleasure getting to know you this last year.
Yes, same here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and good luck and along the way. And I think later this summer, we're going to get the new Alice in here too.
Yes, Haley will come to celebrate National Ice Cream Month. And ooh, you'll have a chance to hear firsthand about her background in agriculture and what inspired her to run for the role of Alice. And she is a young lady who is so energetic and passionate and excited about Wisconsin agriculture. I'm really excited to see her bring that enthusiasm to the role of Alice.
Yeah, we are too. Well, thanks a lot for joining us here today.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Ashley Hagenow, who is the 76th Alice in Dairyland for a few more days. This is the Morning Show from WRCO.
Welcome to Pratt Chat. Pratt Chat is a service of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service of Richland Center in Muscadet. Join us each week for a conversation with Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service for answers to questions that we're all hesitant to ask. Pratt Chat is sponsored by the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service.
Mark, today let's talk about how you spend your money down so you can get help from the state.
Sure. So Medicaid is there to assist people who run out of funds. So a lot of times this comes into play if people go to a nursing home. If you go to a nursing home, everyone still wants you to get good care. They want you to have a nice life, even if you can't necessarily financially afford it.